Inspector West. Calling Chief Inspector West.
Stand by for West. A crime file based on John Creasy's novel, Inspector West at Home, dramatized for radio by Maurice Travers. Inspector West at Home, starring Patrick Allen as Chief Inspector Roger West of Scotland Yard, and Sarah Lawson as his wife, Janet. Part two, Crisis for a Copper.
£1,000? What, here in this house? Oh, Roger, I can't believe it.
I can, if Pep Morgan says so. He found it planted upstairs, Jan, in the boys' bedroom.
And took it away.
Right under the noses of Superintendent Abbott and his merry men.
Well, damn lucky for me, Mark, that Pep did. If Abbott had found that money, I'd have been well and truly in the cart.
Then I say three cheers for Pep Morgan. If ever there was a walking advertisement for a private inquiry agent, the little man is it. He really turned up trumps.
I just wish he'd turn up. He said on the phone he'd be over right away. I want to know the full story.
Oh, this whole thing's fantastic. And it makes me boiling mad. You accepting a bribe? How could anyone at our yard think a thing like that? Oh, they must be out of their minds.
Well, Chatworth isn't. He signed the search warrant.
Yes, I'm more livid about that than anything else. Sir Guy Chatworth? And I thought he was a friend.
He's also Assistant Commissioner of Police and Roger's boss, Janet. Don't forget that.
And what's that supposed to mean? And whose side are you on?
Oh, don't talk like a nit. You know whose side I'm on. Mark Lessing, the original Old Faithful. That's me, but there's no sense in blinking at the facts, you know.
What facts?
Chatworth wouldn't do a thing like this, and to Roger, of all people, without some good reason.
That's as may be. But it's the way he chose to do it, Mark, as though I were a crook. Sending Abbott here like a bolt from the blue to go through my house. Having you and me searched, and Eden searching Jan. The Assistant Commissioner's going to hear just what I think about all that. Straight to his face. That should be Pep now. I'll let him in.
Evening, Roger.
Oh, come in, Pep, old son.
Sir?
Give me your Mac.
Righto. Here we are.
Well, Janet and Mark Lessing are in the living room. We've been waiting for you.
Righto, then. It's a fine old how'd you do, this caper, isn't it, Roger?
That's one way of putting it.
No, you've still got a watchdog outside, do you?
What?
Abbott's left a man watching the place.
Has he?
Yes, and not just any old constable either. He's own detective sergeant. Tiny Mears in person.
Well, I hope he... Oh, come on, Pep.
Pep?
Evening, Mrs. West.
Nice to see you.
Evening, Mr. Lessing.
Come and sit down. Would you like some coffee?
Oh, tar very much.
All right, Pep. Let's hear it. Right from the beginning.
Well, here's how it goes, Roger. I was having a bit of a chat today. Lunchtime it was, with one of the women PCs at the yard. And she started talking about you.
Yeah, who was it?
No names, no pack drill. Well, anyway, she sort of rumbled on about being hauled in on a nasty job for this afternoon, how some money was going to be found in the home of a yard man and it was going to mean curtains for him. She never said which man, mind you, Roger, but, well, we'd been talking about you and I got the impression she meant me to put two and two together.
Which you did.
That's right. Of course, I phoned here right away, but there was no answer.
We'd gone out to lunch.
Well, then I rang you, Mr. Lessing, and made the little arrangement. You did put on a good show, bashing away on that piano over there. The row you were kicking up, I don't think Abbott would have heard the last trump, let alone me making any noise climbing in upstairs.
I don't know how you managed it, Pep.
Oh, I don't know myself now, to tell you the honest truth. Oh, I must be out of condition. It's a good thing you've got that tree growing right by the house. Well, that's about it, Roger. I mean, you know what I found. I told you over the phone.
£1,000 in notes.
That's it, 200 fivers in a neat little packet. Oh, I've brought a couple of them along in case there's any chance of tracing them. Uh-huh. I've parceled up the rest and posted it to your flat, Mr. Lessing. I hope that's okay.
Pep, everything you do is okay with me from now on and forever.
I don't know how we can begin to thank you, Pep.
Well, forget it, Mrs. West. The inspector's done me more than one good turn in his time.
Pep, the policewoman who tipped you off, was it Winnie Marchant?
No names, no pack drill, I said, didn't I? Why, was she here then?
Yes, she was.
Oh, was that the one who searched me? She seemed rather nice. I got the feeling she wasn't very keen on doing the job.
Yeah, because she's got a brain in her head, that's why. And it's too bad I can't say the same for the rest of them at the yard. They ought to know the chief inspector wouldn't take a bribe not to save his life. Roger, someone's got their knife into you.
And it's all sharpened up and shining.
Any idea who it could be, Roger? I mean, who'd want to do the dirty on you like this?
I don't know, but I'm going to find out. Pep, How do you fancy me as a client?
Hey? What was that again?
Roger.
Well, perhaps a private inquiry agent. I'm asking him to take on an assignment for me. Is that so strange?
Well, it is to me. I've never had a chief inspector wanting to hire me before.
And it'll also account for your being here this evening, too. With Tiny Mears watching the house, you're sure to be questioned.
That's right, yeah. Okay, I'm hired. Now then, how do you want me to start?
Well, nose around, see what you can ferret out. Check on anyone not long out of the nick who might have a grudge.
Yes, I thought of that one myself, but it doesn't sound like an ex-con caper to me.
Why not, Pep?
Well, the lolly, Mr. Lessing, the £1,000. That's not chicken feed now, is it?
No. You're right, Pep. So you get checking on it. Whoever's behind this, and whatever the reason is behind it, one thing's for sure. It's big. It's something damn big. Taxi! Hey, taxi! I'm going to Scotland Yard, driver.
Excuse me, sir. One moment.
Sorry, this taxi's taken.
I do hope you won't think it impertinent of me, but I'm most anxious to get to Piccadilly. Would it be too much to ask if I could possibly share the cab with you?
No, I suppose not.
Thank you very much. That's most kind of you.
Well, get in.
Oh, after you, my dear sir. Really is very generous of you. I'm extremely grateful.
That's all right.
Did I happen to hear you say that your destination was Scotland Yard?
Yes.
Am I then in the company of a police officer, by any chance?
Yes, as it happens. Does that make any difference?
Not at all. Oh! I'm terribly sorry. It threw me quite off balance. I hope I didn't hurt you. The driver took that corner much too fast. I should have been holding on to the handle.
Oh, not to worry. No harm done.
No, quite as you say. No harm done.
Now, let's get this wet coat off. Oh, cigarettes. Ah, yes, in the pocket. One. What on earth? My God. How the hell did that get there? Another proposition for you. Okay.
Chelsea 1492.
Oh, Mark, it's Roger.
What is it? Something the matter?
Yes, something new. First the money planted in the house, now... where's Jan?
In the kitchen, washing up.
Good. Oh, in case she asks, I've rung to suggest you should stay the night at Bell Street. It's a good idea in any case, okay?
Surely. Now, what's happened?
I've just gotten to my office.
Yes?
I found an envelope in my raincoat pocket, a sealed envelope, no address. Just a single sheet of paper inside, writing in block letters. Listen to this.
I'm listening.
Dear West, I have another proposition for you. It will pay even better than the last. Meet me at the usual place tomorrow, 7:30. Signed K. Just an initial.
And you found the letter in your raincoat?
Yes. If I hadn't reached into the pocket for my cigarettes. If someone had searched that coat... Well, the thought is enough to bring me out in a cold sweat. Yeah. This letter is all the evidence Abbott needs.
Roger, get rid of it. Fast.
Yes, I intend to. What I can't figure out is how it got into my pocket. It wasn't there this afternoon, or Abbott and his lads would have found it.
Well, there's only been one person at Bell Street since then, and that's Pep Morgan.
I think we can rule him out. So how the taxi.
What?
The man in the taxi. That's got to be it. Mark, I'll hang up now. First priority is to burn this little billet doux. Talk to you later. That's it. Well, Detective Inspector Cornish, something you want?
Roger, I'd just like a word with you about...
The time to say a word to me was a quarter of an hour ago when I put my head into the recreation room. What did I get? The fish-eyed stare and the cold shoulder from every man there was like walking into a graveyard.
Look,
and strange as it may seem, I had an idea that you and I were friends.
You know what's being said?
And believed, apparently. They say a man's never too old to learn. Well, I'm learning all right. But it doesn't matter how long you've been at the yard or how you've always done your job, the first hint and everyone's ready to think the worst.
Is it true, Roger, what they're saying?
Why bother to ask?
Because I want to know. Is it?
Decide for yourself.
Oh, for the love of Mike. Do you imagine I want to believe it? Can't you see I'm just waiting for you to tell me it's a load of codswallop?
Oh, I'm sorry, Bob. I shouldn't be taking it out on you. I'll say it once, and that's all. There's not an atom of truth in any of it.
That's all I need to know. And what do you propose to do about it, Roger?
Nail the lie down, of course. Prove that I'm being smeared.
Does that mean you know who's at the back of it?
No, I haven't the foggiest idea, but I'll find out. You know Pep Morgan?
Yes, of course.
Well, he's lending a hand.
Is there any way I can help? Any way at all?
Well, I got a cab here tonight. The driver picked me up in Sloane Square about 3/4 hour ago. He dropped me off here. I was sharing the cab with a man who said he was going on to Piccadilly.
Mm-hmm. Well?
See if you can trace that cab driver, Bob.
How's that going to help you?
Well, I won't involve you with details, but if you can track down that driver, get his name and address for me, Bob, it'll help a lot.
Right. We leave it to me.
Good man. On Bob.
Yes?
Don't do any talking about this, will you? Keep what you're doing for me to yourself.
No need for the warning, Roger. Of course I will.
Okay, then.
Is there anything else?
No, not for the moment. Oh, have you any idea whether the assistant commissioner's still in his office?
It could be. I know Eddie Day saw him about a forgery case a few minutes ago.
Fine. There's a case I want to see him about, too.
Oh, it's the guy.
Oh, it's you, West.
Good evening, sir.
Just what do you imagine you're doing at the yard, may I ask?
I'm here for two things, sir. First, an interview with you.
You may have seen me just locking my door, Chief Inspector. I'm about to leave the building.
And second, to ask for a release from duty.
Release? There's no question of anything of that nature. You are suspended from duty, West.
That's news to me, sir. I've had no notification to that effect.
It's not dated till tomorrow morning. And if you think you can escape the stigma of suspension by asking for a release, you're much mistaken.
I seem to have been mistaken about a lot of things.
And what is that intended to mean?
I was under the impression, Sir Guy, that any man of yours could rely on getting fair treatment, scrupulously fair. It's been quite a shock to find I've been wrong about that.
You had your opportunity to discuss this with me.
I had nothing of the kind.
Your memory seems to be failing, Chief Inspector. Earlier today, you were requested by Superintendent Abbott to come here and see me. You refused.
Superintendent Abbott seems to have misled you, Sir Guy.
Misled me?
He didn't say you wanted to see me. He merely asked me to come with him to the yard for questioning. As I knew nothing of the circumstances and he wouldn't give me any information, I refused. That was the exact situation.
Go inside.
Yes, sir.
I am gravely disappointed with you, West.
I'm disappointed in you, sir.
You? Have you taken leave of your senses, Chief Inspector?
I don't think so. This is a very serious matter for me, and it's been handled damn badly. If any man under me had dealt like this with a similar case, I'd have had his hide.
Would you indeed? Chief Inspector, the evidence that Superintendent Abbott was sent to find was removed from your home. Who did it? That private inquiry agent, Morgan? He was seen at Bell Street.
Because I sent for him. And to my knowledge, there was never any evidence in my house which could convict me of accepting a bribe. I've never taken a bribe in my life. I don't know where you got your information. I don't know how long you've had me under suspicion. But I do know that the methods which have been used to try and trap me are outrageous. You've obviously prejudged me. Oh, look here, sir. I know you must have some pretty strong reasons for what you've done. The case must be even more serious than I think, or you wouldn't have been so arbitrary. But surely I deserve the chance to answer these allegations. My record at the yard should entitle me to that much, at least.
Sit down.
Thank you, sir.
Now, how do you explain the sum of £1,750 paid into your account in the Mid-Union Bank Piccadilly over the last 3 months?
What?
7 payments of £250. Always in cash, always in £1 notes. Where did that money come from?
I haven't the remotest idea.
That went due, West.
I use the Mid-Union very rarely. My main account's at Brickley's Bank, Chelsea. I haven't credited my account at the Mid-Union for at least 6 months.
I've seen the account, Chief Inspector. I've talked to the cashiers and the manager.
In that case, you must know who made those payments.
Certainly. Your wife.
What did you say?
It was your wife.
Well, that's impossible.
Here's the description we were given. Read it for yourself. Well?
Oh, come on, sir.
Jan's not the only attractive dark-haired woman in the world, now is she?
You seem remarkably pleased with yourself all of a sudden.
I am. Pleased and relieved. This is obviously one of your main items of evidence, and I can blow it sky high.
Indeed.
Yes, sir. Janet didn't go into the bank for the simple reason she's never been inside it in all the time I've had an account there. That's easily proved. You just send her there and then talk to the employees again.
You sound very confident. Perhaps you sent some other woman to deposit the money.
Aren't you getting carried away, Sir Guy?
I beg your pardon.
If I came out with a theory like that without any evidence, you'd tell me to go and boil my head. No, sir. I've been framed. Carefully and cleverly. Someone's gone to a lot of trouble, but whoever that woman is who made those payments, she can be found. And once that's done, we'll know who's behind it and why.
You're either telling the truth, Chief Inspector, or you're the most convincing liar I've ever known.
You're the only one who can decide that, sir.
For the first time, I'm beginning to think that I may have been mistaken about all this.
Does that mean I can have the release from duty?
Why do you want it?
To get to the bottom of this business for myself. Well, Sir Guy, do I get my leave of absence? I'd like your answer, please.
Suspended from duty?
That's right, Jan.
I don't follow, Roger. After all that, Chatsworth's still going to put you on suspension?
Yes, Mark.
Oh!
No, easy does it, Jan, love. Don't get your paddy up.
It's already up. As far as I'm concerned, that's the end of Sir Guy Chatsworth. I'll never feel the same about him again.
No. Calm down. Listen. He had no choice, things being what they are. As long as there's any room for suspicion about me, leave of absence won't do. He has to suspend me. But he did give me the impression that he expects me to dig around. And he's prepared to listen to anything I come up with.
I should think he would be.
Well, for a start, I'm going to clean up this thing about you and the bank. You'll be paying a visit there tomorrow.
Did he say who's supposed to have been bribing you, Roger?
No, he's pretty evasive about that. My guess is he doesn't really know. It's been going on since the middle of January, I gather. That's when those payments to the mid-union started. I'm supposed to have hit on some smart racket around that time and taken money to hold my tongue. Abbott's been in charge of the investigation from the beginning.
And I bet he's enjoyed every minute of it. He's a snake. Roger?
Hmm?
I don't have to go to the bank with him tomorrow, do I?
No, Bob Cornish gets the job. I think Chatsworth's afraid you might scratch the superintendent's eyes out.
Well, I'm not the violent kind, but I'm prepared to make an exception for Mr. Abbott.
Roger, do you think Bob Cornish can manage to trace that taxi driver for you?
Well, I got my fingers crossed. It's the only lead to the character who shared the cab with me and slipped that envelope into my coat.
What I don't understand is why, darling? Why this deliberate attempt to frame you?
That's what I'd like to know. But I've got one other useful item of information. Chatsworth gave it to me.
What?
The name of the man who dropped the squeak about the £1,000, which brought Abbott and crew here this afternoon.
Well, come on, Roger, don't keep us in suspense.
It was Joe Leach.
Leach? Well, now, that is a bit of a teaser, isn't it?
Why, do you know him?
Well, I met him once some time ago on a case Roger let me help him with.
Who is he, then?
Well, Joe Leach is a bit of everything, Jan. Runs a betting shop in the East End, has a half share in a pub. But his main claim to fame is that he's a regular source of information to the police.
Ah, is that why Mark called it a teaser?
Yes. Leach's information is usually pretty reliable, which explains the decision for Abbott to take action. Well, the way I see it, Leach passed the tip on for one of two reasons. Either he really believed it was true, or he's been got at himself in some way or the other. I want you to find out which it is, Mark.
Me?
Yes. I discussed it with Bob Cornish, and he agrees with me. We'll keep it unofficial. After all, you've done this sort of thing for me before, so it's one for you to handle.
I'll do my damnedest. You can count on that.
Well, now I think it's time we got to bed. Oh, it's been a long day. Not one of the best. Well, let's hope for better things tomorrow.
Well, I don't know about you two, but I fancy a cup of tea before turning in. Is that too much to ask, Janice?
No, of course not. I'll go and put the kettle on. It won't take a minute.
Thanks. Roger, I wanted Janet out of the room for a moment. There's something I'm a bit worried about.
Oh, what's that?
The business of the bank deposits, the attempt to tie Janet into all this.
How do you mean?
Well, on the face of it, it seems to have been done just to strengthen the evidence against you, but it might also mean that the family's likely to be involved in the future.
Yes, I see what you're getting at. Oh, but I don't think that's very likely, Martin.
Of course, the boys are in Gloucestershire for the school holidays, so they're all right, aren't they?
Martin and Richard. Yes, I should say they're all right. The worst that's liable to happen to those two is bellyache from eating too much fruit from the local orchards. And as far as Jan's concerned, well, I admit, I'll feel easier in my mind once she's paid her visit to the Mid-Union in the morning. I'll be happier when that little item's cleaned up.
There's the bank. On the other side, Mrs. West.
Oh, yes, I see it, Inspector Cornish.
Oh, your husband calls me Bob, why don't you?
Thank you.
Okay. Now, you know the drill.
Oh, yes. But, Inspector...
Bob's the name, remember?
Yes, Bob. What if anything goes wrong?
Now, you've got nothing to worry about, Mrs. West.
I just can't help feeling nervous.
Oh, forget it. It'll be a breeze, you'll see.
But this kind of identification thing... I mean, I've heard of cases from Roger where sometimes it all goes haywire and a completely innocent person...
Oh, now, stop worrying. All you do is cross the road and go into the bank. Pay the money into Roger's account as if it's a normal, everyday thing.
Yes.
Now, once I've seen you come out, I'll nip in and do my stuff. Oh, we better fix a meeting place, hadn't we?
Yes, I suppose so.
Now, let's see now. That should do. That coffee bar along there, okay?
Mm-hmm. Oh, I just hope everything will be okay at the bank, too.
Now, look, the one thing you mustn't do is seem nervous when you get in there, understand? It's just an everyday thing.
Yes. Yes, of course. Yes, you're quite right.
Now, take a deep breath and off you go. Hey, wait for the traffic lights.
Chelsea, 1492.
It's me, Roger.
Mark.
Have you had any news from Janet yet?
No, but it's a bit early. I wasn't expecting to hear from you so soon either. Well, what about Joe Leach? Any luck with him?
You won't be very happy about this, I'm afraid.
He wouldn't do any talking.
He can't do any talking. He's dead.
Dead?
He was found early this morning, Roger. He was murdered.
Good God.
I'm at the local police station now, trying to get as much information as I can.
Mark, there's someone at the door. Find out all you possibly can and get back here.
Okay. Bye, Roger.
Bye. All right. I'm coming.
Oh, good morning.
Good morning.
Can you tell me if Mrs. West is at home by any chance?
No, I'm afraid she isn't.
Oh, what a shame. Of course, I should really have telephoned to arrange a convenient time to see her, but as I happen to be driving through Chelsea...
Well, I'm her husband. Can I help at all?
You're Chief Inspector West.
Oh, that's right.
My name is Fleming, Mrs. Raymond Fleming.
Would you care to come in, Mrs. Fleming?
Thank you. Just for a moment. I shan't stay, Mr. West, but I'd appreciate it if you would tell your wife that I called. Here, let me give you my card.
No, thank you. The European Relief and Assistance Society.
I'm the president. Yes. And our offices, you see, are in Welbeck Street.
Oh, yes, yes.
We're a bona fide organization, Mr. West, properly registered as a charity. Your wife's name was given to me as someone who would be... sympathetic and might agree to lend her services.
Oh, I see. Well, she does one or two things in that line, mainly in connection with the school our two boys go to. There are a couple of other organizations here in Chelsea. Oh, is that how you came to hear of them?
Yes, I imagine that would be it.
Just what does your society do?
Well, our aim is to help Europeans who come to settle here in this country. You might say it's my own little hobby horse, Mr. West. I was responsible for starting it all. It's not a welfare organization for refugees. There are a number of other bodies who deal with that. We're primarily concerned with helping professional people from every sphere, medicine, science, engineering. Mm. Do you think your wife would consider helping us?
Well, I really don't know.
I'm told she'd be a very valuable person to have, just the kind we need.
Well, I'll tell her about it, naturally.
And will you use your good offices to persuade her? I'm sure you can be very persuasive indeed, Chief Inspector.
Well, I'd say that's much more likely to be true of you, Mrs. Fleming.
How very flattering of you. I mustn't keep you any longer. Thank you so much for giving me so much time.
Not at all.
I'm sure you must be very busy with all sorts of strange and mysterious cases.
As it so happens, I am, Mrs. Fleming.
Really? Well, I'm certain you'll find out the truth. I'm sure nothing could stay hidden from you very long, Mr. West. I'll say goodbye now.
Yeah, goodbye.
And thank you again.
Yeah, not at all. At Chelsea, 1492.
Oh, Roger, darling.
Oh, Jan, is everything all right? What happened at the bank?
Everything's fine. When Bob Cornish questioned the cashiers, they said they'd never seen me before.
Oh, thank the Lord.
That's exactly how I feel. Hmm. Oh, it's such a relief. I was half afraid they might go crazy and actually...
Yes,
say.
I know.
Well, at least this should satisfy Chatworth. I'll get on to him right away.
There's no need, darling. Bob Cornish has already called the yard and reported.
Oh, that's great.
He's getting me some coffee at the moment. He's really being awfully nice.
Oh, where are you?
At a coffee bar near the bank. As soon as I've had coffee, I'll make my way home.
Fine. As a matter of fact, I've just shut the door on a visitor. For you, Jan.
Oh, who?
A lady. Very beautiful, very elegant. Bowled up in a silver-grey rose and a silver-grey mink that you'd give your eye teeth for. I'll tell you all about it when you get home.
All right. I'll catch a bus in Victoria Street. I rather fancy a walk through St. James's Park. Bye for now.
Bye, Jan, love.
Silly things.
Like the ducks, do you?
What? Oh. Yes. Doesn't everyone?
Not me. I'm more interested in you, Mrs. West.
What?
You see, now he's...
What are you doing?
You see, I said no screaming, no struggling, unless you want to get hurt. Now we're going to take a little walk, you, me, and my mate. Just you be a good girl and behave, or the Chief Inspector won't recognise that nice face of yours. Now let's go. Walk.
You've been listening to Patrick Allen and Sarah Lawson in the second part of Inspector West at Home by John Creasy. Listen to Fear in Flat Nine, the next episode of John Fawcett Wilson's production of Inspector West at Home.